I'm Dave Mays, and this is Collect Call with Suge Knight. What you're about to hear are conversations, raw and uncut, with the legendary founder of Death Row Records. He's currently serving a 28-year sentence in California State Prison. His honesty, vulnerability, and current state of mind will all be heard in this groundbreaking podcast series, featuring conversations with me and many other guests who have agreed to accept Suge's Collect Call. Suge will be putting periods to all question marks while answering everything hip-hop fans worldwide want to know. History will be made and documented in real time each week on Collect Call with Suge Knight. Suge and I both want to hear from you, so if you have any questions or input, please be sure to contact us at Breakbeat Media, authentically hip-hop. Welcome to Collect Call with Suge Knight.
Hello.
This is Global Tel Link. You have a prepaid call from
Suge Knight.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded. To accept this call, dial 5 now.
My grandfather on my mother's side, my mother's father rather, he wrote the song Corina, Corina.
Corina, Corina, where you been so long? Corina, Corina.
He played guitar and sang and shit. And when he did that song, not only did he not get paid, they made a movie about it. Still didn't get paid. So I was like, well, you know what? Let me find out what that publishing stuff about. That's why the first thing I started to get into was the publishing. Getting ready to put out Doggy Style, Michael Fuchs called me and said, hey, I would like to give you $100 million. Give you 2 state art studios, $10 million apiece. Leave Interscope, come directly with me. And Dion was involved in it. Dion Warwick was involved in it also. So you know me being a ghetto mother. I'm like, put that in writing and fax it to me. Wasn't no emails and no shit like that, or text messages. So he put it in writing, he faxed it to me. I called an emergency meeting with Ted Fields and Jimmy Iovine. I said, look, I know how not just you, how we can leave Time Warner and go do a deal somewhere else. They was like, how could we do that? So I explained it to them. And they was like, well, how do we got proof? I said, read this. I got the proof on the fax machine. It's a fax. They read it. Jimmy like, that's sure. I said, yeah, I ain't never slow. I said, well, where I'm from, if you slow, you get taken advantage of. So I'm not the slow one. So that's when they was all happy because they can leave Time Warner and do a deal somewhere else. Doug Morris used to work for Time Warner. I met Doug, and Doug was an incredible guy, and I felt he was a great guy. Jimmy used to work for A&M. Jimmy was like, we can go back to A&M. I said, no, let's go with Doug going. And Doug ended up going to MCA. That's how we all ended up at MCA.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Crazy thing about that, you would think their loyalty would be to me. One of the things with the Broomfields, I was in prison at the time. They sued Interscope and they sued Jeff Rowe. Jimmy and Interscope settled with the Broomfields behind Corrupt for $50,000. When they settled for $50,000, they say we was guilty. We was not guilty, but how could I win if my distributor settled for $50,000. So the Broomfield attorneys, obvious as white, they say, well, they got Jimmy to settle for $50,000 so they can win, and they say they put everything on the black man. Once again, since Interscope and Jimmy themselves for $50,000, they admitted guilt. It cost me $10 million. Interscope sends Death Row a letter. Interscope distributes Death Row catalog. My deal with Interscope, they pay $300,000 every month for operation fee for my label. They sent a letter saying they don't want to be involved and do business and distribute any records or any artists that, one, gets in trouble, two, cursed on the records. And the crazy thing about it, that's one of the reasons why they said they wanted Andre with them. Because right after they got Andre, he did an interview with MTV saying that, hey, I would never cuss on records, I would never call women, I would never do any of this stuff. That's why he did that album they put out called Aftermath. It was called Who Been There, Who Done That.
I've been there, done that. You got guns, yo, I got straps.
So from that point, they didn't have any ties with Death Row. See, Dave, that was a power move, because if they don't distribute my catalog and they talk to their peers and tell them don't distribute my catalog, who will? Okay, I'm a man, I figure it out. I'm in prison. Now I'm in prison, Jimmy coming to visit me, all that shit. So one day, they give one of the security guys a call. Say, hey, Daz and a couple of guys, Cameron has stole all his masters that Suge paid for. Tupac's song with him on his own. And Suge paid for all that. Cameron went to the studio and stole all this that belongs to Suge and Death Row. And Daz stole a couple of reels and Pac's songs, and they going around trying to sell them. That's destroying his catalog. Jimmy tells the security guy, that's my friend, bring me all his catalog, his archives with all this stuff. I'm going to keep it safe for him while he's in prison. So the security guy brings it to Jimmy. Jimmy and David Coyne, once I get home,
you didn't know
I said,
about
okay,
this.
Yasha. I didn't know about this. So when I came home, I was like getting ready to go through my archives and all my masters and, you know, put my shit back together. Where's all my shit? Interscope has it. Why Interscope has my shit? We ain't doing business with them. They're like, well, Jimmy said this, he looking out for me. If he was looking out for me, they'd be still distributing my catalog.
So, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur. And when I was coming up the ranks, money wasn't constantly flowing as fast as my dreams were. I used to wish there was a way I could get some financial momentum without a lot of stress. I wish we had something like earning back in those days. I mean, let's be real. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with earning. So I know you're wondering what earning is. It's an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app, verify your paycheck, then you get your money as you work. There's no fees to you, you just get to enjoy your money earlier. Any money you access is automatically repaid from your next paycheck. 'Tis the season to give, so use the money you access to buy that special friend or family member a gift. If it were up to me, I'd spend the money on a romantic night out with my fiance. She lives for the nights we dress up and take on the town. Join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who've made the app a part of their financial routine. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Collect Call under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. Collect Call under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So I go straight to Interscope. Let me holler at y'all cats. I'm talking to those dudes. I'm like, look, man, where's all my archives? You know, your archives is everything. Your masters, any songs you put out, and any songs you didn't put out. First thing they said was, well, the first thing we did with your catalog and stuff, and all the albums you put out, they said we took all the drum beats from them, and they captured all your drum beats. I said, for what? He he said, because Trey wanted the drum beats, but he could put other, you know, build other songs around it. So at that time, he didn't do all these drum beats, and even if he did some drum beats, those drum beats is property of Death Row, because that might have been on Murder Was the Case, even though he didn't do nothing on there, but Doggy Style or The Chronic or whatever it was. Devontae might have had some drum beats. Quick might have had some drum beats. They took all those drum beats.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
He was using it for the album he did, the albums he was doing with, you know, all these other artists. I said, no, I don't work like that, Jimmy. That's still part of my catalog. I said, we'll talk about that later, but where's my... So he called David Korn in, and David Korn's a real good guy. He over business affairs. I like David Korn. So David Korn comes in and say, well, look, man, Jimmy said, tell him. So it was Jimmy and David Korn, and they said, Pac's mother, Fanny, came up there with some guys with guns and said, hey, I want all of Tupac's stuff. These people say they're selling their stuff. So they showed them guns, and they took all the masters. And this is the craziest shit about this. We were doing, like, say, for instance, that Pac did a song, said it was a Dog Pound. That's not a Pac song, that's a Dog Pound song. So Pac is doing some songs for a soundtrack. That's not a Pac song, that was done for a soundtrack. But we would record so many songs, if he didn't like it, we didn't use it. So then when it came to, we was doing a One Nation project. On this One Nation project, we was gonna get people from the East Coast, people from the Midwest, people from down south, people from the West Coast. It was gonna be like One Nation, everybody do this project.
How much of that did y'all record?
Oh man, it had to have been probably about 80-some songs, right? So when they took all those songs, that's a project that's owned by Death Row, not by Interscope, not by no one but Death Row. So I'm thinking, like, this. So now I got to try to get to the bottom of it. Then everything start going. I start, you know, when something happened, you make you think. And Pac's mother came to visit me in prison. So when she came to visit me in prison, I'm like, hey, I've been hearing a lot of crazy shit. She said, yeah, sir, these motherfuckers. She talked to me. She looked at me. She said, look, I always loved you. I still do love you. Pac loved you. He said he was his big brother. He said you was the closest person to him. He was honest with him. He said, shit, I think he loved you more than he loved me. I said, no, you his mother. He said, but you know, I steal from him. He knows my habit. I said, but still, you his mom. We started laughing. She said, but I have a problem dealing with you because they told me you had my son killed. I said, who is they? She said, the Interscope. So she never told me who. And a light finally clicked on. Oh, I get it. So if motherfuckers try to work me, they're going to turn her against me. They're going to lie on me. And the saddest thing about that shit, she died without knowing the truth.
So when she was visiting you, you saying she told you that they told her that you were responsible for Pac dying, and y'all, I mean, did she leave? Did y'all talk about it? How did that get left? She never.
Well,
she
we
never
kept talking, but then, you know, we kept talking, but then they were rushing around because, you know, you only have so much time to visit. I could tell it really bothered her. She was in tears, you know, but it was a lie. Obviously. So now, I understand that what people won't do to play dirty. So, you know, I had that on my mind, and I had another thing on my mind. I was like, okay, Jimmy came to visit me because they did an Aftermath album with Andre, flopped. So then they was like, well, what could we do to make it better? I said, you got to go back to the basics, force cussing and putting everybody on there. So as you know, they was trying to call it the Chronic. I was like, nah, you can't call it the Chronic 2 or Chronic 2000, Chronic nothing, because the Chronic is what I did. Dre didn't even come up with that name. So as we going through all that, Jimmy says, well, I'll give you $1 off of each CD that's sold. Each unit that's sold, I'll give you $1 if you let us use that Chronic. I said, no, I'd rather not, because y'all ain't distributing my shit. I said, y'all don't want to deal with people who get in trouble or people who cuss on records. I'm quite sure this record's going to be cussing. So he said, remember, if we use the name, I'm going to pay you $1 off each record that's sold. So now, the advertisement is the Chronic. Everything is the Chronic. When they put the CD out, instead of using the Chronic, they use the logo. I said, man, check this shit out. When I first met your I told you, I'm not slow. Where I'm from, if you're slow, you get taken advantage of. So I said, it's like this. If I go to the Raiders, I said, if I put this magazine out and I use the Raiders name, I'm going to give you $1 off each magazine I sell. And then at the last minute, I don't use the Raiders name, I use the Raiders logo. Right. So that's still using the Raiders name if they see the logo. If you see the logo and it's the Raiders logo, you're going to say that's the Raiders, right?
Definitely.
So if you take the Chronic leaf and don't say the name, but you use the leaf that we use, it's going to be what?
Yeah, they're gonna know what it is.
Hey, Dad, you're being scary, but it's going to be the Chronic. I said for you. You know, they ain't got no they're saying it's the Chronic.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So now I got all these things I got to bring up. I need my catalog. I need my masters. I need okay. Now, all of a sudden, we get sued. Time Motola, Sony. Interscope, Jimmy. Death Row, me. They throw everybody's out because they settled. Everybody settled, so you can't come back.
This was a lawsuit. Who sued y'all?
The Harrisons.
Okay.
Lydia Harrison. But the crazy thing about that, Jimmy stepped up and said, I'm going to make sure we get this settled because it's my fault. It's okay. Now, moving forward, they still haven't gave my $1 million back or anything else. Moving forward, Jimmy then was complaining that they was writing them defending letters. And Michael Harris was writing them letters saying, hey, people in prison do desperate things. I'm going to get you and all this type of shit. David Kinner knows. They both know. To kidnap David Kinner and Jimmy. Me and the homies came today to Savior and got into it with the niggas he sent up there with. They didn't get neither one of them, so that was a great job done. But far beyond all that, this is the thing that gets me. I should have seen it coming, but I never did. So I tried to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. First, Snoop did a song called Midnight Love.
Midnight Love.
He did that song, it was with, you know, one of the Tony dudes. He said, hey, I want to do a video to it for $800,000. I said, well, by the time we finish and do everything and y'all being late, it's going to be $900,000 or $1 million. So you basically want to do a $1 million video for one song? He said, yeah. I said, do four more songs and we can put an EP out. Because you do one song, and we put one song off, and it's a single, I'll never make that $1 million back that I spent on a video. So I told him to do four more songs. So Snoop was leaving. He was getting on the elevator. Jimmy was getting on the elevator. And the conversation supposed to be, what's wrong with you? I got to go do four more songs. And I don't feel like doing them. But Snoop said, I got to do them because I want to put this video out. And, you know, he want to do four more songs. Jimmy said, oh, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. So he gives Snoop the money to do the video. But I get the invoice saying, hey, we gave Snoop $800,000 for this video, so Death Row got to reimburse us. So I did. But at the same time, Snoop said, thank you, thank you, thank you. So that's like trying to get my artist. So then the Chalet was the first one told me how Jimmy was having dinner with Dre saying, hey, you shouldn't be cursing, you shouldn't be tough and all this type of stuff. You should just be more on the white side. So I'm saying, damn, this is trying to go behind my back and steal. So Dre goes and said, hey, man, I want to do Jimmy introduced me to this guy that has put a $1 million studio in my house. I said, well, I tell you like this. You're already not coming to the studio doing any work. If you put a studio in your house, you're never going to work. I said, plus, you're not going to want the artist to be at your house recording, right? He said, no. I said, well, why should we spend $1 million to put a $1 million studio in your house and you're not going to use it? He tells Jimmy, Jimmy paid for it. He tells Jimmy, thank you, thank you, thank you. But guess what? Guess who paid for it? Me and Def Row. Because I get in, you know, the letter to, you know.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Either I got to reimburse them with a check, or if they owe me $5 million, they're going to pay me $4 million because $1 million went to the studio. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So then Mr. Lay said they was going to have a dinner and lunch, and he was telling him how he should be straight with Interscope. But that's why I was able to get his ass off of Death Row and let Jimmy have him. I only gave him $2 million. But I didn't give up my 30% management commission. That's how the shit got tricky when it came to the Straight Outta Compton shit and the headphones.
But look, so I got a phone call today. It was an interesting call. So Snoop called me this morning, and you know, I was talking to him about a few things, and he brought up his case, his murder trial, and he told me that Suge, that you didn't pay for his legal fees, and that Jimmy Iovine paid for his legal fees. And then he also said that Michael Harris, who was in prison at the time, is the one that used his legal connections, lawyers and stuff, to get Snoop the best lawyers for his case. And I was like, man, that's crazy, because, you know, I'm pretty sure what Suge told me was true. So, I need
It's like this, Dave. My energy always gonna be good. Okay, Snoop. But you know, at the same time, man, I always say this. Most people believe that white people ice is colder than black people ice, no matter what. Same ice. You know, that's how it go. And the thing about it is this, either Snoop know he lying or you're a fucking idiot. One of the two. Either or. But the thing about it, I want to keep this energy good. I want to keep the energy good for the culture and for our people, and we can move forward and past this. But let's not rewrite history. Number one, this is the thing. When I said I was going to help him get out of this murder case, every person told me don't spend a dollar. You got one song on this dude, he's going to prison for life. That's what everybody said. And they said it's a bad look. But I still stepped up to it. And the other thing is this. I got the receipts where I paid for it. Now, since Jimmy Iovine told Snoop he paid for it, and Snoop believes that, I tell you what, Jimmy can own that. Snoop can believe that. But fair is fair. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Now, what I want from Jimmy is my money back. So what I'm going to do now is, that's committing fraud. So I'm going to have to get me some lawyers who are not scared of the good old boys and go after Jimmy and get every dollar I spent on Snoop's murder trial, number one. Number two, I know I ain't going to be able to get the money back. I had to take care of the DAs and make sure his own homeboy stop ratting on him, who ratted on him. So I'm definitely finna get on Jimmy by my money. Now, if Michael Harris want to say, or Snoop told you, that Michael Harris had David Kenner do that for free, I spent over $5 million. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to have my lawyer send David Kenner an email. I want all my money back. I want all the hours they built me. And I want to go to the state bar. I used to slap, but these days now, slap them, they tell on you, and I'm back where I'm sitting at now. So I had a lawyer deal with in the state bar. So I will report David Kenner to the state bar. But one thing they can't say, Johnny Cochran came in and did a favor for me. And Don Ray was paid. So David Kenner got $5 million plus. He can run me my shit. But the thing about this, Dave, is real plain and simple. There's only one truth. Most people are scared of it. That's why they want to rewrite history. The second thing is that, you know, I see what they're trying to do. They turn around and say they're lying, so they bought death row and they have death row. You talking about the same who committed a fraud against me and death row. I am death row. I started to change, and ain't just no chain. We got this branding on us. So for these dudes that want to say they have death row and do all this tricky shit, I'm going to legally attack them. First of all, I'm going to legally attack Denzel. Denzel tells Antoine Fuqua to do the death row documentary without me. Reason why they say it's Denzel doing it, I told Antoine to do it because Michael Harris gave Denzel money. That never gave me no drug money, and guess what? I was investigated by the FBI and audited and went through my shit backwards and forwards. They pick and choose what type of relationship Denzel got with the government. Because at the same time, if this motherfucker can say he gave you drug money and you agree and said he did, and you tell Denzel, Denzel tell Antoine to do the documentary on Death Row out Mr. Knight, what type of relationships you have. But we know what's up with Denzel. I bought some property in you know, Beverly Park. They didn't want me in there so bad. When I went and bought some land, they all signed paperwork, but they just couldn't say they didn't want blacks in there. But they all said they didn't want nobody in there with a felony. And Antoine, look here, boy. You know I know the goods on you. You want to start something? It's going to be something. But when people try to rewrite history and do a documentary on Death Row, who have nothing to do with Death Row. Snoop, you was an artist. Your first name was Snoopy Duper. You're not Death Row. And most importantly, how is y'all talking about Tupac when none of y'all with Tupac? Mike definitely don't know Tupac. Had nothing to do with Tupac. Snoop, we got the receipts. How you felt about the homie. That's where the problem is at. So I'm quite sure everything's a little tight right now because everybody know the truth's coming out. But one thing for sure, Dave, I'm going after Jimmy now for my bread. I'm going after David Kenner this week. For my matter of fact, when I hang up this phone with you, I'm gonna call David Kenner.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
You run me my bread. You know the sad thing about this, Dave?
What's that?
I always kept quiet. I always kept positive, right? It's my best. But it's like this. I went through it with Jerry Heller, and I fought to get these dudes off their deals, off their contracts, and get them a good life. Jerry sent only thing different between Jerry and Jimmy Iovine is two things. Saying left or right, Jerry Heller going to send every thing he could at him. I respect Jerry Heller because he kept the street. He going to send their gang members. He going to send their organized crime. If he going to see him want to take some bread and try to knock him down, he would all that. And he did all that. God just blessed me more and made me stronger. I'm still here. Jimmy Iovine, he gonna stick those lawyers on you. He gonna stick those DAs on you. He gonna stick those judges on you. And I'm here. So, you know, ball to ball, strike to strike. But I ain't scared of it, because even though I'm in prison, my happiness is here. Now, all the shit I've been through, they say I got the worst case of PTSD, like a war hero. But I've been through some wars. And, you know, if I get knocked down, I get back up. If I get shot, I patch myself up. If you do fall and beat me out some bread, I don't fall on the ground and cry about it. I get on my feet and make some more bread. It's one thing for sure. If you did it once, you can do it again. So I'm doing series, not me personally, but they're doing series on the whole truth of everything. Even though I'm talking about series, you ought to be able to tell detail, step by step, what really happened, how I really got started, and really what really goes on. Like I said, Dave, I appreciate the fact that we ever do stuff in culture. I'm not doing it for no bread. I don't get paid. But if I can give back, or somebody can learn from my mistakes or the great things I did and become better than me, I'm doing something. I just think we all need to take a deep breath. People should network together. People should see how far we can go as a team and as a situation where we're fighting amongst each other. War is never good for no one. At the same time, I'm not running from it. I'm already in the hole. I'm sitting right here in this. You would think if I had an opportunity to move forward, they would appreciate their freedom. They would appreciate their life. And for Snoop, you weren't pushing death row when you was on death row. Why push it now? You got the opportunity, Snoop. You with the white girl, with the white, you with Martha Stewart and all of them. Push that positive you said you were doing. Church. What happened to that? All of a sudden, you with the white dude now. Y'all gangsters. Y'all drug dealers. What? They out of my. Could they stand out of it? They probably can. Because at the same time, if they catch them dirty, they ain't going to do nothing about it. I'm gonna do it like this. They know they don't have the rights to the merchandise. They're supposed to honor those deals. Jack in the Box, you getting sued. Anytime.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
If I was shooting a Jack in the Box commercial, and I had on Nike or Adidas, Polo, they would say I could cover up that logo. They don't got the right to use it. Jack in the Box. You can do a motherfucking Jack in the Box commercial with Snoop wearing a Death Row chain. That's not his to wear. And once again, we got the proof that Snoop and Mike is partners. Now what I'm going to do, the $1 million I paid to settle the default judgment, I want my $1 million back. Now what I'm going to say, since David Kenner says he did that trial for Snoop as a favor for Mike, not only do I want my money back, when Lydia Harris got the default judgment, she said her partner was attorney David Kenner. So he owned half of the judgment. But the crazy thing about that, Lydia filed bankruptcy, never mentioned death row. David Kenner filed bankruptcy, never mentioned death row. If I did something like that, I'd be where I'm sitting, in prison. So now, I want the fraud. All this they did wrong, I want to get compensated. Those live in a glass house. One of the most positive things I could tell both of you two individuals. Don't start a rock fight when you live in a glass house. Dave, before I let you go,
yeah,
I understand what they're trying to do. You probably getting these calls because at the end of the day, they probably threaten you. They're probably trying to intimidate you. They probably don't want you fucking with nobody but them. Don't believe all that bullshit.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
God got you, not got you. And before I go, as I always say, you can get rich with the devil's money, but you only can be happy with God's money. So I'm going to pray you bum-ass niggas out. I'm signing y'all off. Straight up.